Okay, let's get this show on the road. I never really know when to come in on that. Last time I waited too long and everybody was complaining, so I just cut a little shorter. Anyways, you're listening to Music Myths and Cannabis. My name's Leon, and we've got my co-host buddy here, Daryl.
How's it going?
Known Daryl for a bazillion years. The idea behind this show is we're going to talk about weed for about 10, 15 minutes. Next part of the show, we're going to talk about music, myths, stories, whatever. And I can guarantee you're going to learn something, because every time I talk to Daryl about music, I end up learning something. Last time, we've already done a couple of trial shows, and some of the stuff I pulled out of his head, I just was like, what? What are you talking about? I never heard that.
And what? You? Same with you.
Yeah.
Right. I learned a few things.
Excellent. And this is almost like a test run, because I can already see I need to get a longer cable for my headphones, and I also have to get some mic stands, because we are holding our mics, so apologize for any muffles and ruffles. Okay. How was your week?
Good.
Stuff.
Yep.
It's been a little cool. We're out in BC. A little bit rainy this week, but not too bad. I took the roof off the Jeep a little early. I took the roof off. All of a sudden, it rained for 20 hours.
Yeah, it was pretty warm today.
Today was pretty good, and it's going to be good for the next few days. So, but anyways, that's not what we're here for. We're going to talk about weed for a couple minutes. When we first talk, we could talk about weed. We could talk about the strain, paraphernalia, like bongs, vaporizers, this, that, and the other. And then sometimes just straight up just a strain, or could be shatter, could be weed, could be hash. I don't know, whatever. It's going to be all over the place. How to grow it. We're just going to talk about everything. Might have some guests about it too. Got a guy, my executive producer, Jason Papanopoulos.
I love that name.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's how you say it. And he's got some guests lined up for me, but I haven't talked to him about who exactly, but they're going to be high-end people in the growing industry. I myself am in the cannabis industry. And I know you've got a lot of experience in the growing, and definitely in the smoking.
Some in the growing.
Definitely in the smoking. Well, now it's legal in Canada. Are you going to have any plants?
I haven't yet.
You haven't done it since it's become legal?
I have not.
Right on. I have. I threw a couple out last year. Had actually a pretty amazing...
It's more of a time thing for me.
Yeah, I hear you there. Totally. I was going to ask you... it's kind of a weird question, but what was the... Do you remember the first time you ever got high?
I do.
Yeah, okay. What was that?
Hash on a New Year's Eve, probably 1984.
Okay.
Something like that.
Just at home?
No, it was actually at my dad's friend's house, and he took me upstairs.
Your dad's buddy took you upstairs and gave you a hoot?
He did.
And knowing your parents, he probably knew and didn't care.
He probably did.
Yeah, right on. I remember my first time. I had tried it a couple times, but I never got anything off of it. And it was kind of a funny story. My brother had moved out. I don't think you ever met... No, you wouldn't never met my brother.
No.
Anyways, he was living at the house, and he was like way into smoking weed. This is back when it was extremely illegal. His hiding spot was on top of the water tank. We had a 72-foot single-wide trailer, and he hid it on this water tank. But he'd moved out. A couple months goes by or whatever. Of course, the water tank breaks. I'm the only kid living at the house. My dad finds it. He thinks it's mine. So... he gets it, and he's going to give me the speech, and we're in the living room. He's going, oh, I found this, and, you know, this is not good, and, you know, tell me the truth about this. And I'm like, I never seen it. I don't know anything about it. It's not mine. And all of a sudden, somebody knocks on the door, and it's my parents' friends. So they don't want my parents' friends to see this thing, right, this bag of weed sitting on the coffee table. So they go, get rid of that. So I take it, and I stick it in my pocket, and then they kind of escort the friends into the kitchen. And then I kind of, oh, yeah, I walked past. I go into the bathroom, and I fucking quickly rolled up a doobie. I even threw in some dirt just in case my dad could see that there was one doobie missing out of eighth.
Yep.
And then so I was like, okay, I'm going to my friend's house. Hadn't been high before. My parents basically handed me this on a silver platter, which they would hate. And yeah, I remember the second I smoked it on my way to my buddy's house, and I was walking on this wooden sidewalk, and the second that I stepped onto that cement, poof, I could just feel it, you know? I tried it a few times before, but I just never felt the feeling.
If you could only get that buzz again.
That never happens. I've actually stopped for a couple of days every once in a while just to see if I can get that buzz back again. However, I will say this. You know something? I did end up getting COVID, and after I got COVID, it takes a lot less weed for me to actually get high.
Oh, really? Interesting.
Yeah, it was... I didn't get very much for side effects, so it was almost worth it. It was almost worth the trade-off. So, okay, I'm going to make some mistakes here because, like I said, this is kind of an audio trial. And I'll tell you, the first mistake I made was I got a glass of pop, which is going to make me burp. So, not so good. I got a pre-roll here. And like I was saying, I got to get some mic stands because I want to go through everything. I want to go through the feel of the weed. I want to go through the smell of it, how it breaks up and stuff like that. But since I didn't have mic stands, I had to do this. It's a pre-roll. Not a pre-roll from a dispensary. I don't ever buy those ever.
You?
No.
No. And from...
Not a big dispensary fan.
I have to say, most of the shit I've gotten from dispensaries, it either tastes the same, like it's just kind of this monotone flavor that could be partly the grower's fault, but it could also be with the regulations that Canada has on the LPs, licensed producers, because they're restricted on what they can and can't do and feed the plants and what they can't use for, say, pest control or whatever. Whereas the street guy, he can do whatever he wants. And
yeah, yeah.
So that is one thing. What kind of papers do you prefer?
Zigzag guy.
Zigzag, regular, just old
school?
Just
the regular whites.
I gotcha. I used to use the regular old zigzags, and I still do, I guess, on occasion, but I've gone to the cones. You use those much?
I have a little bit.
I like them. I didn't like them at first, but I do like them now. Get the weed kind of powdered up and then you pack it in there. But the only complaint I have is I find that there's a lot of run on the side. You get a lot of canoeing, as some people would call it, and I can't stand that.
And then there's the flavored papers that I'm not a fan of.
No. And you know something stupid about that is that even if you have a flavored paper, excuse me, it doesn't flavor the weed or anything. It's just on your lips, that little bit.
So, exactly.
So why even bother flavoring the whole paper? And the paper...
It's a way to sell stuff.
I guess so. And I also find the paper is like actually made out of paper, whereas the zigzags, I think...
It's a lot thicker.
Yeah, and it burns different. Yeah. It's almost like a newspaper.
I get it, yeah.
A thin newspaper, but the regular paper is... I think it's rice paper is what it is. Well, what I got here right now is a sample I got from Jason Papadopoulos, and it is Mac 1. Nice buds, nice tight buds, sticky, lots of trichomes. You can totally see that. I talked to you about this before, but do you use a grinder or scissors?
Scissors.
And I find scissors better myself. It squishes the weed together as opposed to...
More flavor, I find.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. It squishes it all together.
Yeah.
And that's the way I like it.
I mean, if you're in a hurry, grinder's great. But
sure, but it even, in my opinion, burns better.
Yeah, I find a grinder can be too fine.
Yeah, totally. Okay, here we go. We're going to smoke a doobie of Mac 1. This is a common one right now. Well, I can actually hear the burning.
I can hear that too. It smells good.
Yeah, Backwoods is a common strain right now. It's a good producer. Gives you a good THC level. I've never grown it like personally home, whatever. I've just gotten it from dispensaries and samples and shit. We've grown it quite a bit at work.
I think I have some Death Bubba right now. That's what I'm smoking at home.
Yeah, you tend to just get... Yeah, well, obviously, if you don't go to dispensaries, you're going to be getting your shit just from friends here and there.
Yeah, locally, yep.
And I find you get better bud from street people.
Yes.
Like, not street people, but... Yeah. you know, old school growers. Those are the guys. They've been through it all.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, that's not too bad at all. I find myself now, I go for the fatter papers, but I think that's just because... back in the day, Jesus, man, a bag of weed. I remember paying up to like $40 for an eighth.
Yeah, I know, crazy.
You know, so
I can't imagine that now.
No, your doobies were definitely a lot smaller. Yeah, I can't imagine it either.
We're buying joints for like $5 a piece.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That didn't even burn.
Not that I ever sold weed, but I did have a situation where if I was selling weed, I had a guy and he paid me $400 for an ounce. I didn't want to sell it. That was the thing. It was some good old skunk. Remember that shit?
I love the skunk.
Yeah, I wish they could bring that back. I don't know how. If anybody can regenerate it out there or whatever.
Yeah, I'm surprised it just went away.
Where did it go?
There's one guy with it somewhere.
There's got to be, right? I knew one guy. He said he was going to try. I think he had some skunk seeds. He was going to try to get it going. And it takes like a long time to get a good plant.
Yeah.
Like you got to do your seeds and then you pick the best of those and grow that up and shit. So he's looking at a good 8 months before he would have had an answer. And then he got in a fight with his roommate and moved out, and I have no idea.
I always laugh at where do they get the names from.
Oh, fuck, names. Names don't seem to mean anything anymore. Like back in the day, if you got blueberry, you knew what flavor it was going to be. But now, and even for a little while, it was still good because if you say Pink Kush versus, I don't know, Green Crack, you could call it Pink Crack. I kind of would have an idea of what flavor we're going to be getting. But now... Yeah, there's nothing. Like you said the other day, your favorite flavor was God's vagina.
Yeah. That's so good.
I have no idea what that would taste like, you know? That's something you could put together in your head.
It was very good, I must say.
Was it a fruity one?
It was very flavorful from what I remember. I think I only had it the once.
Green crack, I was one of my most favoritest I ever got. And I actually got that from a dispensary. But the first time I got it, it was awesome. Second, two, three times I got it, yeah, not so awesome. It was just, could be the curing. It could be the grower. It could, you know, knowing what I know now of the industry, it could have been a different strain completely. And they just changed the name because that's the one that's selling right now. I've seen that happen a few times.
And we were talking about the dispensaries that are on the reses where you can get the higher milligram edibles.
Yeah, you know, I didn't know that.
Where you can only get 10 milligrams at your government ones.
Right.
You can get up to 100 or at least at the,
that's
the ones
awesome
on the res.
When they first started, when it first got legal at the dispensaries, you could get like a couple times I'd gotten a chocolate bar or whatever and it had like 160 or something in it. And that's great because I don't even feel anything until I get around the 80, 90 numbers. I don't.
Yeah, 100 to 200 is nice.
There you go. I myself don't even like edibles anymore. You do them once in a while, eh?
I do. Do you like them?
What's your go-to?
Gummies, chocolate bars. Had popcorn one time. Was pretty good. Trail mix.
Yeah, right on. You ever make any kind of edibles?
I've never done it myself. Nope.
No? I've made butter and lots of brownies, stuff like that, but I don't like them myself. So it's weird. With the first trials of it, I never felt anything. And so I was like, this isn't my kind of thing.
Yeah.
And then I guess I had enough where I did feel it. And then I just didn't like it. It wasn't my jam.
We had the 1,000 milligram freezies that I got. Those ones were.
did you eat a whole freezie?
No, about half. But you could eat the whole freezie. Like, it's so easy. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, sure. I would be all fucked up. You know, I don't know. Just like smoking it. I'm one of those guys where I actually like the flavor. It seems to be more my thing. I've used this analogy before. If it was beer, I can get 6% beer has or a higher level of THC in a bud, but I'd rather have a beer that tastes good. So even if it was 4%, I'll take a hit in the THC.
No old stock for you.
No old stock for this guy. I don't even like beer very much, but definitely no old stock, man. That stuff was shit. Although I did.
It was a malt, too.
I couldn't even tell you that much of a difference. I did.
Drank many in the Saskatchewan days. Yeah. We drank many old stocks.
Absolutely. Yeah, that Pilsner seems to be another one Saskatchewan seems to like. Yeah. I don't know what that's about.
A boot.
Right? We always get busted for the a boot. I've never heard any Canadian in my life say a boot. Maybe a Newfie.
Yeah.
Well, we just lost all the Newfies.
Funny thing, Newfie doesn't mind being called a Newfie.
Most don't. Yeah. True story.
Any Newfie I knew. Right, Ross?
Oh, I just was in the middle of trying to hold back a cough. What about bongs and hot knives, things like that? Is that your jam?
I don't think I could do a hot knife these days, but yeah, used to be big time.
See, I don't like anything that makes me cough.
Yeah.
And I tend to, maybe I need a bigger bong, you know, those great big tall ones.
Yeah, I've never really used the big one.
Oh, no way. I'm good. I'm going to cough. I don't want to do that right now. So anyways, that was Mac 1. But like I said, it's not always going to be about the weed. It's going to sometimes be about, it could be anything from growing it, different. Maybe we'll get one of these big bongs.
Yeah, test it out.
Get somebody.
And we could cough all over the place.
Yeah, we'll cough all over the place. Levels will be just popping. Okay, well, other times I'm going to bust down more into the strains and stuff, but this being kind of basically an audio test show, I'm going to move on because I want to know more about these flavors. Like this was Mac 1, but I want to know what THC level it is, what turpentines it has, CBD levels, that kind of stuff. I don't have that information, but like I said, I just kind of wanted to babble about what I want the show to be about. We talked about that actually in two of our prior demos and stuff, but we had audio issues, and you probably will never hear those. Yeah. I can't hear them.
There was actually some funny stuff out there.
I know. We did pretty good. But hey, maybe I can regenerate it. I don't know. We'll see. Okay, so music. What are we going to talk about music today? The idea that this whole thing came to me about was, you know that Phil Collins song, I Can Feel It in the Air? I know you already know. I mean, everybody knows this one. But just a quick rundown is Phil Collins had sent a ticket to some guy he knew when he was a kid, and he saw that guy not help somebody who was drowning. He goes to do the song in the air. He puts the spotlight on the guy, and then he sings, and then you can check out the words on Google, and it just says a whole bunch of stuff. I was there. I saw what you did. I saw it with my own two eyes, and all that kind of stuff. So there's a myth to a Phil Collins song. And Phil Collins, in case nobody knows, is a drummer for Genesis, but then later on had a career on his own. I'm always impressed with a guy who can drum and sing at the same time.
Yeah, he's good. I like him. I just always laugh at every album. It's just his big face.
Yeah, that's true. Did you ever see Buster, the movie?
No.
Oh, you don't need to. It was horrible. It was his movie. He was a kid or something like this, a grown up kid. It's been done.
You know what I'm doing tonight?
No, don't even do it, man. I'm telling you. If you do, don't complain to me. You'll be like, I wish I had my 90 minutes back. But anyways, so that's the myth about Phil Collins. But I was going to do the first show about that, but we got talking, and I think a better topic would be the 27 Club. And it also has a tail myth to it about the
White Lighter.
The White Lighter one. I didn't know about that one. Daryl told me. Oh, and the Phil Collins story, total bullshit. Everybody will tell you that's a true story. It didn't happen. And that's kind of what I want to do on here. For the myth parts, we're going to look into it. Although that's kind of hard, too, with some of the things, because there's so many different websites that have different opinions of this or that, the other thing, and it's kind of hard to tell. So it does take some research, but I do know that one's bullshit because I actually have audio of him saying it. I should have got that and put it on here. I have some audio of him saying that it's complete bullshit. So let's move on. The 27 Club. That is about, you want to explain it?
Well, it's a lot of people died at the age of 27, like from Robert Johnson to Jimi Hendrix to Brian Jones to Jim Morrison, to Janis Joplin, Kurt Cobain, Amy Winehouse, and it goes on.
And you know who else died? Do you know, you might know this because you're a music goofball like I am. Mia. Mia, let me look up her name here.
Oh, I think I know what you're talking
about. Mia Zapata?
Yeah.
Turns out she died at 27 too.
Really?
I didn't know that. I never listened to much of the Gets. It's not a thing I know, but
yeah.
I know this one from True Crime, so did you watch True Crime?
I did. I've seen that one, yes.
Yep. Perfect. Yeah, she basically left, I think, the club or whatever. She was just by herself in the streets at some point for a small amount of time. Nobody knew where she was, where the hell's Mia. It turns out something. Then somebody else phones in 911, found a body laying in the middle of the street, posed out like Jesus Christ pose kind of thing. And then I think years went by, and then DNA actually caught.
Yeah, quite a few years, yeah. I believe.
Oh, and Mia, she was a lead singer for the Gets. But she was down in Seattle, and she was very tight with, like, the Soundgarden, the Nirvana bands, and all the grunge bands.
Yeah, they never broke through, but yeah.
Exactly. If I remember correctly, they were right on the verge, weren't they?
I think so, yes.
I think, like, had a record deal and shit like that.
I think they actually did, like, some shows, actually, with Joan Jett.
I think
singing
that's right.
After she passed away. I believe so.
That's right, too. I know, you're totally right. Brian Jones is another one.
Yes.
Jimi Hendrix. Rolling Stones. Yeah, were you a Stones fan?
Yeah. Old stuff, yes.
I'm one of those guys where I didn't like the Stones that much as I was growing up. I mean, out of their...
Stones in the 80s? No.
Yeah. Oh, no. I hear you. But basically, I was like, out of their 40 albums, I could make, like, you know, old school, I could make a cassette.
Yeah, I hear you. Yeah.
That was it. However, I've grown into liking a lot more Stones songs later on.
I think that John Belushi was part of this club too, even though he's not a musician. Pretty sure he died at 27 as well.
No way.
I believe so.
I'll have to look into that. There's actually a huge list of people.
Yeah.
I was, yeah, so
it's
kinda surprised.
It's crazy.
It is. There's a whole bunch we're not mentioning, and we're not professionals by any means. We are just two goofballs who babble about music constantly. Back in the old days before the internet, we would sit there and talk, and we had no way to prove this. And Daryl would say something like, oh, what was the name of this guy? And like a week would go by.
And then at midnight, it'd be like, hey.
Hey. Yeah, exactly. And Robert Johnson. Okay, let's hit him for a minute. How much you know about him?
Sold his soul to the devil.
He did so. That movie
Crossroads. Yeah.
Crossroads.
Steve Vai.
That's right, too.
Karate Kid, whatever his name is.
Ralph Macchiato.
There he is, yeah.
Something like that. Yeah, he sold his soul to the devil. He was not a great guitar player, and then he disappeared for a couple months and came back, and he was phenomenal. I was reading some stuff today, and they were saying that there's some controversy about how he died. Some people say, because he was found in, it was 1938, and he was found in a field. And 1938, not too many people, you know, the cops and that, they didn't really look too much into any kind of black death, just
the way it was, yeah.
It's horrible. But so there wasn't too much of an investigation, and they didn't do autopsies and this, that. But some people say he died of syphilis, and other people say that he got poisoned probably from one of his, because he cheating wife kind of a situation.
Yeah.
Husband got pissed off and poisoned him. Apparently he drank some whiskey or something, and the next thing you know, he was dead. So it's kind of linked towards that. How much truth is in that? I don't know. I can't even find it. But do you ever listen to that really, really old shit?
Not a lot, but I do like it.
You ever dive into, say, some Lead Belly?
I like Lead Belly, yes.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. I love that guy. It's amazing. And for anybody who
probably
doesn't know
from Nirvana, really, that I went back and checked it out, right?
Yeah, right. I think it's probably how I found out too.
Yeah.
But I was so surprised at how many people do Lead Belly songs.
Yeah, no, I agree. Yeah.
It was just like, holy shit. So anybody out there doesn't know Lead Belly, you should look into it. Okay, so Kurt Cobain. Well, actually, Robert Johnson, he's kind of the first person, but not everybody will give him credit for that. But he was actually one of the first people that died at 27 years old in this club. Then it kind of went on, you know, not really, wasn't a club yet. It was just this one guy died. And then around this, between 70 and about, what, 73, I think, within those 3 years, that's when the four major ones died. Janis Joplin, Jimi Hendrix, Jim Morrison, and Brian Jones.
Yeah, I think he was earlier. I can't, 60s maybe?
Not really sure. Again, yeah. Stones, man. Yeah. You know? And I will do research on this stuff. It's just we got a lot of people on this particular one. So Kurt Cobain, what do you think? Do you think suicide or murder?
I still think Courtney had something to do with it.
Yeah, I can't necessarily take that thought out of my head.
Yeah.
And everybody obviously knows who Kurt Cobain is, lead singer for Nirvana out of Seattle. Amazing band, in my opinion. Just phenomenal. Really hit the spot.
Because there's a singer from The Mentors, El Duce.
Okay.
Who said that he was hired to do the job, apparently. Courtney hired him. But is he reliable or not? Probably not so much. But
okay, I hadn't heard that one. I've seen a couple of documentaries about her and her relationship with her dad and all about Kurt. Yeah, so the thing with him was, did you know that he had two uncles and a great uncle that killed themselves, shot themselves?
No, I did not know that.
So mental illness ran in his family.
Yeah, I'm sure he was going through some shit for sure.
Oh, yeah. Oh, and there was another thing I found out just today. When he wrote that suicide letter, did you know who he addressed it to?
No, I did see something about that today, but I didn't read the story, actually.
You saw that today?
I did. There was something popped up on Facebook.
I read it. I was at work, and I just quickly read it on my phone for 2 seconds. But he had an imaginary friend. And so that suicide letter is actually addressed to his imaginary friend. I can't remember. It started with a B. I swear it was like Botsby or Bobo or something like this.
You're going to have to look into that now.
Yeah, I'm going to have to. It was interesting, but I just constantly see another piece of this that I just, it's like, oh, no, I didn't know that. He's a huge heavy drinker at 13. He came across a kid hanging by his neck on a bridge in Seattle, too, when he was young, like 13, 14 or something like this, came across. And when he died, his mom said, don't quote me, but said something like, there he's gone and joined that club. I told him not to join that club. And a lot of people link it back to this 27 club. But apparently the truth of the matter is what she was talking about was the club of his uncles.
Oh, yeah. Okay, that makes sense. Yeah.
I'm not saying they were all 27.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
They killed themselves and stuff like that. So that's what she was kind of referring to. What about Amy Winehouse?
Don't know much about her myself. Never was a huge...
No?
I mean, I respect what she did, but I wasn't a huge fan.
I was a huge fan. I love that old Beehive. You can't just take anybody and put a Beehive on. I'm saying it looks great. But I like that whole... My mom was a big music listener, dancer, you know, dancing around. And I think it was their time. Your mom probably...
Yeah.
The music comes on.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
So, yeah, mom was a big dancer. Dad liked music, too, but mom was a huge dancer. And so I got introduced to a lot of that really old stuff, like Patsy Cline, Buddy Holly, just...
As well, I did too. I just never really dug into her catalog of stuff, really. I heard a song here and there, that's about it.
Yeah, she was quite a mess. Things were... She started off on a pop kind of a level, and then just got hooked into the booze and the heroin and this, that, and she just could never recover. That last... concert, do you ever see her last? I guess you don't watch it too much.
No, but I did
her
not.
Last concert is on YouTube.
Oh, really?
Oh my god, she is fucked up. And the band's pissed off, and the crowd's booing. It's pretty sad. And then what she did was she was in her hotel room. She was up, at least the bodyguard had seen her around 2 o'clock or in the morning or something, watching TV. And to me, I'm a night guy, so that's not crazy late. Are you a night guy?
Yeah, I can be.
I can't stand just daytime. It's not my jam. But she was in the hotel room. He saw her around 2 o'clock, watched TV, didn't think much of it. And then 3 o'clock in the afternoon, he hadn't heard from her. So he knocks on the door, didn't hear from her much. So he went in, and there she was. She was dead. The figure that a lot of it was alcohol, but she was also bulimic, which can, you know, bring down your immune system to a degree. And next thing you know, you're dead. So that was, 2011 when she died. So you weren't too much of a Stones fan. What about Hendrix fan?
Hendrix fan, yeah, for sure. I enjoyed the Hendrix.
He didn't have that much music out, actually, when you look
back. No, not really.
He only had, three albums?
Yeah, I believe so.
I think it was. And then, his rendition that he did in Woodstock, that was pretty phenomenal.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, amazing, amazing guitarist. But I never really got into it, but I can recognize it and I appreciate it. Like, as far as...
Yeah, he's influenced so many people, right? So.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. What about Janis Joplin? Did you listen to much of that?
No, I can't say I do. I do like her, but yeah, I'd say out of this club, probably Jim Morrison would be my thing.
Yeah.
I like the Doors a lot.
Okay. Well, tell me, how did Jim die?
How did Jim die? There's some controversy behind that, too.
There so is.
It seems like there's controversy behind all these 27.
Every single one of them.
So, I know he was found dead in the bathtub, and then did he have a heart attack? Did he get poisoned, I think? I can't remember exactly.
Think I've heard them all. And then there's the heroin, because he was trying to shake the booze.
Yeah.
He was a harsh alcoholic. He went over. Did you know that? But when he was a kid, he had basically disappeared from his family's life. And then I think it was his brother brought home this album going, "Hey, check out this music," or whatever. And it was his brother, on, like his own brother, who had run away. So Jim Morrison's little brother liked this music, bought the album, and saw his own brother on, and he didn't even know.
Oh, really? I did not know
that. That was the introduction to how the parents and the whole family found out that he was into music.
Oh, wow.
But yeah, he was a harsh fucking alcoholic.
Yeah, bad. Yeah.
Some
of his live shows are pretty out there, too.
Yeah, I may see you now. I'm going to have to dig that up. He went over to Paris. Some people say he was going over to kind of straighten out. And when he left, he was getting to the point where he was pretty fat. And he got over there, and he still was fat. His great big beard. He was trying to hide, basically. He didn't want to be recognized. He'd go to the pub and just get shit-faced. And apparently, he had started losing some weight, going on walks, but he wouldn't give up the heroin.
Yeah, yeah.
So from what I understand, it was a heroin overdose.
That would be my guess of the whole thing.
Yeah, and just,
tried to continue on. They released an album with just the Ray Manzarek singing.
The closest thing I could say that ever worked with a band continuing on after somebody died would be, to me, AC/DC. But I have to say, my favorite AC/DC is with Bon Scott.
Oh, 100%, yeah.
Which is also, who else is dead?
Speaking of the Doors, though, they did do a tour with the singer from The Cult that was actually pretty good.
Oh, okay. Ian Astbury.
Yes, exactly.
Big fan of his, actually.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Well, I was a huge Cult fan when I was a kid.
Yeah.
I just thought
that album, Electric, yeah, did it for me. Even Love, yeah.
For me, the first song I ever heard from was Love's She Saw Sanctuary.
Yeah, yeah.
I remember I was just had done laundry. I'm 17, I think. I got my own little place, 18. And I got my place and folding laundry, and this song came on. It just hit me, instantly. I just thought that was just awesome. Looked into them and stuff. You ever seen them?
I've never seen them live, no.
No way. I've seen them twice now. Seen them once. They opened for Metallica in Saskatchewan.
Yeah.
And then out here, we went to a show, and it had, Primal Scream, The Cult, and, Jane's Addiction.
Oh, I've never seen Jane's Addiction either.
I'm
a big fan of theirs.
I got one on you.
Yeah.
I am a huge fan of theirs. I always have been. Periferal, especially.
Oh, I remember. Trying to sleep for work. Leon comes and here... Here comes, been caught stealing at 3 a.m.
Yeah, that's probably true. That's not the first time, but
at Daryl Jacobson's house.
Oh yeah, Daryl. That's another story. And then who else? Janis Joplin. How do you know how she died?
No, offhand, I'm just drawing a blank right now.
Heroin overdose.
Yeah, that's was my guess.
She was not a huge Janis Joplin fan, but I totally understand where the fan club comes from. I get that, but I never felt so bad for
anybody. She's a great singer.
She was a good singer, a great singer. Coming out of the most awkward body, that you would suspect. You get a mental visual of who you think is behind this voice.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Definitely wasn't Janis Joplin.
No, for sure.
And she was bullied like crazy when she was a kid, eh? Do you know about all that?
No,
Oh, it's like a whole town hated her, and they just fucking call the shit, to the point that in her yearbook she's voted ugliest man on campus. That's horrible. Of course, bullying is bad now, and
we'd never do that.
Never, ever. But people are horrible. Anyways, okay, so we talked about Jimi Hendrix. Okay, so there's a lot of conscious controversy behind his death too. I mean, some people say the FBI killed him.
Yep. No, I've heard that too.
I heard that one. Jim Morrison, I think, recovered all the major. Even,
The Brian Jones one too is also controversial.
I have more notes here, but to be honest with you, I can't read it because the light shut off a little bit. It's too dark. So I was just going off the top of my head. Four of those people died within 3 years. I found that interesting.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I got the numbers here, but I don't want to flip papers over the mic. But between, I think it was 1970 and 73.
Was it also they died in the same apartment?
Remember? Oh, we were that talking? One. Okay, so.
Is that still part of the 27 Club?
Or
is that?
Let's see here. Keith Moon?
Yeah, I don't think so. Keith Moon, and who else was it died in the same? Oh, Mama.
Oh, Mama Cass.
Yes.
Yeah, so she died in his place.
In Harry's place.
It was Harry Nilsson's house. So there's three major musicians and knocked into this one apartment, and he got so depressed over that he wouldn't go back to the flat. I think it was over in Europe, so whatever.
Can't blame him.
The apartment. But he still kept it, like he owned it. But
yeah,
he,
yeah.
And you know who bought it? Recently I found out. I don't know if it happened recently, but just to make sure that it didn't get swarmed with paparazzi and stuff like that. Any idea who bought it?
No.
Pete Townsend.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. It's just some people, they do that, so they don't want to just have all the tabloids and fans, like Jim Morrison's grave, for example.
Yeah, craziness.
Or over by where Amy Winehouse died. Like, it's just, or probably where Kurt.
Yeah, probably
everything,
all.
You know?
Yeah.
Those people just, I'm not like that myself. I might be on a tour bus and take a look to the right.
Yes.
I'm not going to stop and ruin it. But anyways, well, that's kind of basically the idea of what we're looking for to do as a show. Talk about weed at first and then some type of topic. The music could be all over the place. It could be about a myth, a story, mystery. Oh, we didn't talk about the white lighter.
Oh, yeah.
Another myth. Daryl told me this one. You go ahead.
Apparently most of those, or all of those, 27 Club were found with a white Bic lighter in their pocket or in their possession somewhere in the room.
Then that's really bizarre. I can debunk that right now.
It's supposed to be a white lighter curse.
If it's a white lighter curse, maybe. But if it's a white Bic lighter, that can't happen because Bics didn't come out until 1973.
Okay.
I looked a little bit into that. So if it's literally a white Bic myth, then that can't be true.
Yeah.
Especially Robert Johnson.
Yes, exactly.
But if it's just a white lighter, then it could be. So
we'll do more research.
I guess I'm going to have to do more research. I thought I had that busted, but now that I think about it. So anyways, again, this is a test show. I'm going to come up maybe some type of outro music.
Okay.
Stuff like that. But for right now, I'm just going to have to say peace and love. And we're going to do another show in 2 weeks. And hopefully this all sounds good and people like it. Okay.
Cheers.
See you in 2 weeks.